You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Rockledge, Melbourne, and the Beaches, and W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for joining us here on WMIE 91.5 FM, today's Modern Worship. My name is Bob Arthurs. You're listening to the Refresh radio program. It is a ministry of Merritt Assembly of God. We are located at 165 North Grove Street in Merritt Island, Florida, and we would love to invite you out to one of our services. We'd be honored if you chose to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords with us. Our church exists to be a blessing. We are blessed to be a blessing to God, to our family, to our church, and to our community. And that community is a global community. We want to take the gospel to as many people as we possibly can, both local and national and international. Those are our three different mission outreaches. And if that sounds like something you would like to be a part of, we would like to invite you to one of our services. Tonight is not going to be one of those services. We're going to not be having our Wednesday night service tonight. And tomorrow is July the 4th. It's a national holiday. And we're just going to give everybody an opportunity to get on with their festivities, whatever that might entail, whether it involves going to see family or getting their house ready for family that may be coming to see them. But as you are celebrating that, be sure and do it safely. Be sure and celebrate the freedoms that we have here in America, which involve the freedom to worship God as well as many other freedoms. And also take just a moment to thank God for the freedom that you have to serve Him, to be forgiven of your sins, the freedom to be all that God wants you to be. We want to say thank you to all of those service people who have served, both men and women and their families, their children. And we honor you, we salute you, and we thank you for making sure that we were not only the land of the free in the past, but we remain the land of the free here in 2024. So pray that you have a great holiday. So no service tonight. We will be meeting on Sunday morning, Sunday school at 9:30, worship service at 10:30, and pray that you have a great, great holiday. Today we are going to return to Mark, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 12. You can find these passages that we have been talking about. You can find account of them as according to Matthew. You can also find them according to the Gospel of Luke. And so you can go back and look at the different things that the Spirit highlighted to the different authors, and you'll see that they all happen right here about the same timeline and very, very similar verbiage. What we are looking at is that God not only wants to teach us, He not only wants to teach us truth, He also wants to teach us how to think. And that's what we are going to see in this particular passage here. As I continue to read on down through chapter 12 and into chapter 13, you do need to realize that the things I talk about here, that it is not an exhaustive list. There are a lot of other things that Jesus shared that He wanted to teach the people and that He wanted them to learn. And some of those we may highlight in a manner that you will it won't be exhaustive, but we'll share some of those either today or tomorrow. So Mark chapter 12, verse number 35, this comes right after it has been said that, but after that, no one dared question him. Verse 35, then Jesus answered and said while he taught in the temple, how is it that the scribes say that the Christ is the son of David? For David himself said by the Holy Spirit, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Therefore David himself calls him Lord. How is he then his son? And the common people heard him gladly. So I'll start off by addressing the end of verse number 34, where it says, but after that, no one dared question him. You see, we live in a society, and history has proven that there are a lot of people who struggle with God's word. They struggle with God. The concept of God and the fact that we are accountable to him causes a great deal of uneasiness for a lot of people who have rejected him. But as we've talked about before, there is a day of accountability that is coming, and some of our works are going to come forth as gold, metal, and precious stones. Others, when they're tried by the fire, will come forth as wood, hay, and stubble. They will be burned up and there will be loss. We don't want that. So there are a lot of people who get uncomfortable when you start talking about that. Paul was arrested one time, and he started talking about righteousness and self-control and the judgment that is to come, and it made the governing authority he was speaking to so uncomfortable. He said, "That's all for this meeting. We'll talk again later." They don't want to talk about righteousness, especially in a world that's filled with corruption, that God is the righteous judge and he is going to settle every account. That is a intimidating process to deal with. So there are a lot of people, because of their unwillingness to yield to God's word and God's truth, they begin to question. I have a person that I know that they are really, really good at coming up with anecdotal questions to try and undermine faith that they might have, or undermine other people's faith. And so what Jesus demonstrates in his dealing with the word is that he is able to answer anybody's question. He is not intimidated by other people's questions. He is not threatened by anybody's questions. You see, the truth is never insecure. It's never threatened, because it's true. It's true on a good day. It's true on a bad day. And a lot of people begin to have questions, even in the church, whenever bad things are happening in their life. And I will tell you that I don't have all the answers, but the one who has the answers has me. And I trust him. And so when Jesus demonstrates that he is able to answer all of the questions, it's very much like the book of Job and Job's comforters who became Job's confronters, that there came a time when the end of man's questions had arrived. And God has shown himself able to address all of the concerns, both spiritual, relational, physical, emotional, time-wise. You know, a lot of people say, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask God this question or that question. No, you're not. When you get to heaven, You are just going to be grateful to be in the presence of God and be there for the revelation of all that God is, which is going to take an eternity as he reveals himself from glory to glory. He's going to open our eyes and we're going to be, whoa. And then all of a sudden, just about the time that you think it can't get any better, you see, whoa. You see, it is not that God is slow in revealing himself. It is that we are slow in being able to process his revelation. And so there comes a time when man's questioning comes to a stop. The very next step in the process is very, very intimidating. And that is that right after man stops asking his questions of God, God starts asking his questions of man. I'll tell you, in Job said, I had heard about you. Now I've seen you. You're not going to have me asking any more questions. God asked questions, and there may be some people that could answer some of those questions now, as do you know where this is born and how this happened and all of that sort of stuff. But no one is able to answer all of the questions that God has. I was describing to my wife, I was having a conversation with her, that I had seen a news article, and it described a new therapy treatment that had been done in a certain country. There were a lot of children in that area that had been born deaf, and they did this experimental gene therapy on them, and they were able to hear. And when I read of that, I don't remember all of the details, but when I read of that, the fact that it was a gene therapy caused me to look at God's word and say, you know, when he opened deaf ears, when he opened blinded eyes, when he restored lame legs, when he raised the dead to life, it wasn't just a superficial act. It was something that the authority of Jesus Christ stretched all the way down to the genetic level and brought physical transformation, not just an instantaneous functionality, but it restored health all the way down to a level beyond what we can comprehend. You see, God is deeper, he's higher, he's wider, he's got greater endurance than what we can comprehend. And so whenever God starts asking questions, you can rest assured that the carnal nature is going to get very uneasy. So Jesus asked them a question at one point in time. He said, John the Baptist, was his ministry from heaven or was it from men? And the philosophers thought a while, and we say, if we say this, he's going to say that. If we say this, or if we say that, he's going to say this. So we had better just say this. We can't answer that question. He said, then I'm not going to answer your question. You see, Jesus' questions do motivate us to think, and it's not just easy things. He has an answer even to the hardest of questions. So, what's verse number 35? What is the question? It says, and while he taught in the temple, so this was part of his teaching, so here he's teaching them how to process the word. He says, how is it that the scribes, a scribe was the one who had just asked him the question, How is it that the scribes say that the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one of God, is the son of David? For David himself said by the Holy Spirit, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. So there he quotes Psalm 110, verse number 1. Verse number 37. Therefore, David himself calls him Lord. How is he, the Christ, how is he then his son? In other words, how is the Christ then the son of David? And so the answer to that question is that Jesus, the Son of God, existed before David, existed before Moses, existed before Abraham, existed before Adam and Eve. See, he always has been, he always will be. He's the one who was and is to come. He's the one who was dead and is alive. He is the resurrection and the life. And so you have to begin with the identity of who the Christ is. And he goes on and he says, you all identify the Christ as the son of David, the one who is the messianic deliverer, who delivers victory over all our enemies, and he is identified in the scriptures as the son of David. And so that means that he's not his biological son, but he is one of the male descendants of David. And he says, this is what David said, and he didn't say it because it made a good rhyme. He didn't say it because it sounded good. He didn't say it because it flowed literature as a work of literature. It didn't flow just naturally like that. He said it because the Holy Spirit prompted him to write this. And he said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. And I will have you know that that means not just some of our enemies, that means all of our enemies. And the last enemy to be destroyed is death. And so these enemies ultimately were satanic. They were designed to try and overthrow and prevent the will of God from coming to pass. And the Father says to the Son, you just sit right here until I solve all of these enemies, all of these uprisings, all of these rebellions. You see, Jesus came not only to destroy the devil, but also to destroy all the works of the devil. And so it is going, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness, they are not similar. There are not just minor differences between the two. They are vastly different. One is a kingdom of darkness. One is a kingdom of light. One is a kingdom of deception. The other is a kingdom of truth. The one of them is a kingdom of death. The other is a kingdom of life. The one is a kingdom of bondage, and one is a kingdom of freedom. You could go on and you could describe the dynamics of the kingdom, but here Jesus is not only telling them about the word of God, but he asked them this. He says, have you figured out how David calls him Lord, calls the Christ Lord, and yet at the same time, he is his son? You see, one of the problems that the people that Jesus ministered to had when he was ministering to them is they said, we know where he came from. We know his family. we know that. And another person, Nicodemus, said, do we condemn a man before his case has even been heard? And they responded, search the scriptures for yourself. Has a prophet ever risen out of Galilee? And, you know, a lot of times we think that we've got total information when we've only got partial information. And when that is the case, you are going to make less than perfect decisions. Your thought processes will be flawed because you don't have total intake. That's one of the things that really puzzles me about court cases here in, you know, that you read about in the headlines, is you go to share facts, and all of a sudden they say, no, you can't share that, you know, and some of it may be okay, you know, because it's hearsay or it's something, you know, that a person heard from a friend who heard from a friend who heard from a friend. There may be that type of thing, but when you allow some of that stuff and then you don't allow other people to share their expertise and what they know and have experienced, you're going to get incorrect information. So Jesus asked them, therefore David himself calls him Lord, how is he then his son? Well, the answer to that is he was God the Son before creation. He was the Lamb that would take away the sin of the world from before there was even sin in the world. And his plan, God's plan, was that he was going to create a covenant people through which God the Son would become the Son of Man, and he would live a sinless life. He would live a perfect life. He would overcome temptation. He would offer his life upon the cross, shed his blood, die, be raised again, and ascend to the Father on the third day. That's the plan of God. You see, God always has a plan. So let me just mention this to you so that you can grab hold of it. And that is that God has everything all worked out. You can trust him. You don't just need to deal with the superficial matters of life, but you can say, God, how is this possible? Can you help me to figure this out? Can you renew my mind so I don't think like a doubter? You know, the Bible talks about one person presents his side of the case and you think you've got it all figured out, and then all of a sudden the second person gets up and you hear an entirely different scenario. In today's day and time, with artificial intelligence and things like that, you've got to be very careful, because they can make videos that look authentic, they can make recordings that sound authentic, and they can make it sound as if you are saying something that no one has ever said. And I've seen some of those videos, and I've looked and said, you know what, that sounds real, but it's not real. It's not real. So don't be intimidated should someone ask you a very difficult question. Remember, this is coming on the heels of you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And so if your neighbor has questions, God has answers. I was part of a online social media communication at one point in time, and I quit dealing with that, where a person was trying to present themselves as a greater intellectual than Jonathan Edwards. Jonathan Edwards was a revivalist that was used in America's first great awakening. And he studied and prayed hours and hours and hours every day. When he preached under such an anointing that people would beg him to stop so that they could respond to the altar call, and they left their fingerprints in solid oak pews, the nail prints, as they were gripping the pews with such an intensity. And this guy was mocking and ridiculing him. And my response was, Jonathan Edwards would not be intimidated by your questions at all. Moses was the meekest man on the planet. He was mightily used by God. A lot of people who didn't like his leadership rose up in rebellion against him. And a lot of those times, Moses would just start interceding for them and God would show up. So how do you, let me see if I can finish this off today here. Whenever God asks you a question, I want you to be aware of this. He knows the answer. He's wanting you to find out what the answer is. If someone asks a difficult question about God, please understand that God already has an answer to a greater degree than what they can comprehend. So you don't have to be afraid of that question. You don't have to mock the questioner or anything like that. God has the answer. So I'll close out today with this. There was a person who made a statement at one point in time, and afterwards I went up to them, and their statement was 100% biblical. And I said, have you considered this statement? And it was a statement that looked like it could be a contradiction. There's a lot of people that try and point out contradictions just because they don't have an answer. And here was the conclusion that I came to. I said this, I don't know how statement A and statement B can both be true, but I do know this, God can never lie, God's never wrong, and God knows how both of those statements are going to come to pass. He's God. You can trust him, even with the hard questions. Think about that today, and we'll see you tomorrow right here on the Refresh
Radio Program. Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.